You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 22nd, 2018, and if you thought we were going to talk about a roguelike Metroidvania Dark Souls Spelunky procedurally generated hybrid, you're damn right.
It's like they made it for us. Welcome back to the Experience Points Podcast. I'm Joel Jalbor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. That video game today is Dead Cells.
Dead Cells. How much did you know about Dead Cells before we started playing it, by the way?
Very, very little. So Dead Cells went into early access, I believe as late as I even think last year.
Yeah, I know it had been around for a while because I saw some reviews or heard people on podcasts talking about it, but It was far off my radar.
Well, even the way that you described it in the beginning as this like Castlevania roguelike meets Dark Souls meets procedurally generated platforming, difficult, right up my alley. So yes. I had added it to my Steam wish list when it was still in early access and made the sort of mental note, oh, I'll come back to this when it launches. When it finally did launch, and I believe it actually launched on the PC first and then eventually came to the Switch, I just totally forgot about it. I never checked it out when it actually launched on PC. And then someone mentioned, oh, it's out on the Switch. And they said that, oh, by the way, did you know Motion Twin, who's the French developers behind this game, of course they're French, said that they are a worker cooperative. Or as they describe it, an anarcho-syndical workers cooperative. And I heard that and I was like, well, fuck, now I have to give these guys money because they're fighting the man.
They are. Man, that's the most French way to develop a game ever.
Oh, really, dude? So there are, I think right now, there are about 20 employees and they all get paid the exact same amount of money, which is great because I imagine that money is pretty decent these days.
Yeah.
Because Dead Cells sold very well on PC. I think they were at 700,000 copies of Dead Cells as of earlier this year, and then who knows how many copies on the Switch, but at least anecdotally, I know a lot of people who have been playing Dead Cells on the Switch.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think it only came out in full 1.0 version this month, so that's very impressive for a small company.
Yeah, and Dead Cells is the type of game that when you think about, like, oh, what are those games that are great on the Switch? I know we say this all the time. Oh, this is perfect for the Switch. But it really is perfect for the Switch. much of the game is experienced in relatively short bursts. And it makes for really easily digestible sort of bite-sized gaming on the go, which is how I mostly consume content on the Switch. And so genuinely, when I was thinking about picking up Dead Cells, it was either Dead Cells or Octopath Traveler for me. And knowing that Dead Cells was going to be feeding me these shorter bite-sized gaming experiences, that was why I basically decided, well, I'll just pick up Dead Cells and see how it goes before I pick up Octopath Traveler. And since then, I've basically just been playing Dead Cells.
Yeah, it's one of those games that I could see. It's also the skill ceiling is pretty high, but even without it, I could see this game. I mean, this game is essentially infinite because there is a tile set that is procedurally generated for each level, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Yes. So as we do with all debriefs, we'll usually give you a spoiler warning, but I feel like Dead Cells is a weird one because there's not a whole lot to spoil.
Yeah, it's mostly mechanical stuff.
There are some sort of like mechanical spoilers if you're really sensitive about that. So I would actually just put the warning up top. I don't know what you think, but a lot of the mechanics that you find in the beginning are just sort of iterated upon in slight ways over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's not even like I can describe a boss and you'll really understand what I'm talking about, because how you face that boss is going to depend on that particular run and what you've decided to invest in and all that good stuff. So I would just say, you know, if you're really sensitive about Dead Cells, gameplay spoilers, just know that I think it's pretty good. And that's that.
Yeah. So before we go in, just maybe for someone that hasn't played it, because I heard people talk about this a few times and it was always confusing, but I don't think it needs to be. It is a side-scrolling game in the vein of Castlevania.
Yep.
And the trick is that every time you die, you lose any of the experience that you have gained and not cashed in. And then every time you go through the levels, very much like Spelunky, it's the same basic tile set, but arranged in a different way.
Yes. And in between
and
those...
And that's Dead Cells.
Yeah, entirely. And in between those, yeah. You cash in those experience points. And that's, yeah, that's exactly right. It sounds complicated when you say roguelike Metroidvania hybrid kind of thing, yeah. But it's really not all that complicated.
No. And I mean, it's just so... I don't even know where to start because they so cleverly integrated so many good aspects of those games and put them all together in a way that still doesn't feel gimmicky.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It doesn't feel as though everything is sort of ham-fistedly put together.
Yeah. It's not, oh, this isn't just like the bolted-on progression because every game needs progression or whatever.
Or even the sort of like Dark Souls elements, right? Of like losing all of your souls or cells in this case. It doesn't feel like it's there just as like an afterthought. Like it generally creates this like risk reward scenario, and you can change up how you play as you're progressing. So I don't know. I think everything feels really good in that way.
I also will say that I don't know how you're feeling about pixel art these days, but I like the look of this game quite a bit. There's a certain there's a minimalism to the pixel art, but they do it in a way that is almost impressionistic. Like it's kind of, especially in the backgrounds, it's a little bit painterly when it comes to its pixel art, and the animation is extremely fluid. So you have this very animation heavy type of game that still has the Dark Souls way of like canceling out of roles or like canceling out of animations and stuff. It's a really cool combination that gives a lot to the feel of the game.
I think that animation comment is spot on, really. Like, I think there's a lot of pixelated games and pixelated platformers in particular that feel very static. Like you're moving a single character that has some movement, but generally across a flat landscape.
Yeah.
But Dead Cells is actually really busy with a lot of movement. Mm-hmm. So in one of the levels called the Ramparts, you're at the top of a castle, essentially. Yep. And every time that you sort of like jump from one platform for another, your scarf will like flow in the wind and your hair will flow, and you'll do this like dramatic dodge action. And when you land, you'll disrupt birds that will like fly into the air and you'll kick up little bits of dust, and maybe you'll crash through a door and the door will splinter, and then an enemy will be alerted and the enemy will rear back, like really exaggerated, and sort of dash themselves forward. Like everything is constantly sort of moving in their own unique ways.
Yeah.
And it almost kind of reminds me of the way that Blizzard uses the sort of like that stretching thing, if it has a name, but for some of the characters, in to create these outlandish animations that when in action feel really good and feel really natural. Every single enemy that you encounter has a different visual design, but I think more importantly, they have a different animation design in the way that they move and attack.
So you can like catch something out of the corner of your eye where it's like, okay, I know this person throws a projectile, and when they throw it, they have like this motion that spikes up and then down to the right. And so if I see some motion that is going up and down to the right off in the corner, it's like I already know there's a projectile coming from somewhere.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, I think my only complaint with that particular approach to the animation is it can make boss battles sometimes difficult to read.
Yeah.
There are certain boss fights where they will telegraph their attacks. Actually, this is basically all of the boss fights that I've seen so far, will telegraph their attack in certain ways. So if they're going to make a sword strike, they might leer back and then go for the strike. Or maybe more frustratingly, there's a boss in the clock tower area that will sort of have this like large yellow line across the screen and then sort of dash forward. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these visual effects add a lot of clutter to the screen, so that when they actually execute the maneuver, it's harder to know where the precise dodging is meant to be.
Yeah. So what are the safe frames or whatever to roll through?
And, you know, there are times when you'll roll into an enemy, but you'll do it the slightly wrong way. And so, like, the very sort of part of the blade next to the hilt will clip you and you won't be safe. So there are certainly times where I think the amount of animations and visual effects is a detriment. But for the most part, I think it's the game's strong suit.
I mean, I think this is one of the... It reminded me a lot of fighting. Like, I've only finished the first boss so far, but even...
That bridge
at that
one?
Point, yeah, the bridge one. But it reminded me of playing a Souls game where there's a lot of that stuff where it's like, okay, is this the, like, this dragon is rearing up to swipe at me. Is this the type of rear up that is like the 3-part stomp or the 2-part stomp? Because it matters a lot.
Yes.
And there's only like 2 different frames of animation difference between that. So I better know it.
Yeah, exactly. And there are, you know, because of the way that the game works, right, where when you die, you reset your progress, it can be a bit frustrating. And I have to say, I think I'm at a moment right now where I'm the most frustrated that I've been playing Dead Cells yet. And I'm telling myself, like, okay, this isn't it. You know what I mean? You could plow through this. You have seen this shit before, George.
I've just,
like,
plateaued. It's fine.
Yeah, you've played Soulsborne. You're fine. You've got this. But one of the frustrating elements of this genre, I think, is that every time that you reset, you have to climb your way back up. And so it's not as simple to practice these boss fights as you might want, because it could take you 45 minutes, even doing a full tilt run, to find that boss again. And when you do, you know, if you die really quickly, you might not have gotten enough practice to learn those animations.
I have a sense that there's going to be some sort of fast travel. Have you unlocked that at all yet?
So, yes, there's sort of 2 ways that the game does fast travel. Mm-hmm. One is, it's called you just fucking running fast, right?
Oh, like, running fast. Interesting.
I'm sure that you've seen this already, but in every level, there are these blue time gates that you can only go through once you sort of are running full speed. Like, they'll time out, and if you take longer to get there, then you won't make it.
Yeah.
When you're first playing through the game, because you're not familiar with the enemies and the way that they attack, and you're not familiar with the weapons, and you're not getting any good weapon drops anyway, you tend to take your time and never see those time gates. Mm. When you decide, fuck it, I'm just going to just go full bore and run through the level, only picking up my power boosts, you'll eventually unlock those gates because you get there in time. And behind those gates, universally, are a bunch of money, a bunch of cells for you to upgrade your stuff, and some, like, upgrade ability scrolls.
Yep.
And those are the sort of way that the game rewards you for moving quickly on those sort of quote-unquote boss runs.
Yeah.
Because it means that they're going to give you a lot of the things that you would get by taking your time, that is cells, power money. Upgrades, and money, you get by moving fast also.
Yeah.
So that's sort of one way they sort of do fast travel. The other way is by... At certain moments in the game, you'll unlock additional abilities that you can use during your levels. So one of the first ones yet you unlock by killing an elite enemy is the ability to, like, activate this moss that will grow a vine that lets you climb up.
Yeah, I have that one so far, but none of the others yet.
So I also unlocked the one that is the red stone where you, like, clap and you teleport.
Mm. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, those actually won't really take you through a level that much faster. Mm-hmm. They'll just take you to, like, new spots. So, for example, at my most frustrated is when I unlocked the sort of clapping one. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you can actually go to a different sort of, like, split level before the clock guy. So you can actually, like, experience a whole different level that has a little different mechanic where you have to be near light, and if you're not near light, it's constantly draining your health. So it's sort of like a new little thing to experiment with. So there's different ways you can get to the bosses, but I think even if you were going full speed run, it's still going to take you a chunk of time. Hmm. You know?
Have you unlocked or have you seen the blueprint to whatever will let you mess with those sarcophaguses that are littered around?
Sarcophagus? No, I don't think so. I don't even know what sarcophagus you're talking about.
So there's these standing totems.
Oh, the red ones.
Oh, is that the red ones?
Those are the slap ones. Where you clap your hands ones. And you teleport. Yeah, you teleport.
And before, so I've just messed with them, and before it's like electricity arcs when you press them.
Yeah, and then it says, like, you can't use this or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So I've seen that. Have you seen the runes on the ground?
Yes. I have no idea what those are.
Me neither. I haven't seen,
All I know is that when I do a diving attack, they glow red.
Exactly. So there must be something that can be done there. So yeah.
I mean, in very much the Soulsborne fashion, there is a lot of like mysterious lore around the game as well, right? Like those runes are a good example of it, but there's other examples as well. Like there are a bunch of doors in the game that you can knock on, and sometimes no one answers, and sometimes someone answers and just trolls you. They've never opened up. No one's ever given me anything. Like, I don't think they're generally all that useful, but...
Well, there's also doors. I've noticed some of the doors have, like, three dots on them, and some of them have six dots or whatever. And so that's why I'm thinking, like, there must be something... There must be some sort of shortcut mechanism that links it, links all those things together, but I just haven't gotten to it yet. But anyway, yeah, I'm very much in the same way of, like, I just have to blast through the level if I want to try to get back up to where I was.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the other, like, interesting things is that the, I guess the big divergence between this and a Souls game is exactly that, where you can't rely on one build the whole time, because if you die, you start your build all over again. Yes. And so you do cycle through weapons a lot. So, like, what have you seen been most effective for your runs, for your best runs?
My best runs, by far, to a point where I think maybe this is the pro strat, maybe it's busted. Although, to be fair, the boss that I'm currently on, it does not seem especially effective against him. Uh-huh. but the method that I generally use are a trap that will prevent them from moving.
Yep,
like that a could bear be, trap thing. Yeah, that could be a wolf claw trap. There's also a grenade that I've found that is a root grenade that will freeze them in place. Okay. And then some kind of damage over time trap. And generally that's been, at first it was the, I think it was called like the splicer. It shoots arrows essentially when you're nearby. Okay. Or the spinning blades, where as long as they're standing there, they're taking ongoing damage and adding bleed stacks. Yeah. On top of that, I'll just throw like essentially Molotov cocktails to light them on fire and like blast them with arrows.
Yeah.
So basically stack as many damage over time abilities as I can while keeping them at bay. That's been the most effective one for me. There's also a grenade called the magnetic grenade that shoots electricity in a massive arc to basically everyone around them. And I've also been using that a lot. Those ones I've really leaned on. I almost very rarely use melee weapons at all. With a couple of exceptions, one being the whip, which I think is very good because it goes through shields.
And God, another those stupid one, shield guys are so annoying.
Oh God, so annoying. And the other one, I've only ever had one run, and I'm desperate to find this fucking weapon because it was so good. But it was a rapier that attacked very, very quickly, and it would swap place with your enemy, so you would dash through them on like the second or third attack.
That's cool.
I thought that one was really effective because there's quite a few enemies that will sort of charge up to do a frontward attack, and so mid attack as you're damaging them, you'll sort of dash through them and start attacking them from the rear, and that one's been really effective for me.
Have you used that skill where I think it's called, hold on, let me look it up, it's called phaser, where you teleport behind the enemy?
No, I don't even think I've found this skill.
So I found this thing where, and basically the way this works is you find a blueprint during one of your runs, and then if you make it through the level, you can the blueprint becomes permanent, and you can then work towards unlocking it.
So this is a skill.
Yeah, this is a skill.
I can tell you right now, I don't have that.
Okay, so what it does, it's kind of like, it's kind of like a rogue ability in another like an MMO game where you use it, and it automatically teleports you behind an enemy to its back, and then the next attack inflicts more damage to the enemy.
Interesting.
So that combined with some, like, the builds that I have been using a lot are very DPS focused, such that I, you know, something like daggers that do a lot of DPS, but then like on the third hit of the combo do an even higher, like a critical hit or something.
Yeah.
And then I stack that. The other, this game is very mechanically dense. The other mechanic is, there's something called mutators, which are basically like, they are stat bonuses. You can only carry three of them at a time, and maybe one stat bonus allows you a shorter cooldown for grenades, and one stat bonus gives you more DPS if you have multiple enemies on screen or whatever. And so what I tend to do is and also it's just, man, this game is just so well made, where you pick different different mutators based off of what weapons you're carrying, because some of them work better with certain weapons. So it kind of it exposes you to this whole suite of tools that the game exposes you to. And so what I do is, like, I try to get a, like, fast, high DPS melee weapon, the phase, so I can dash behind enemies and, like, you know, mess them up. And then some traps that, you know, stick them in place, like you were saying, and then use mutators that either increase my DPS if there are traps on screen.
Oh, yeah, if they're nearby.
Yeah, and increase my DPS if there's two or more enemies near me. So it's like,
ooh, interesting.
It incentivizes me to get right into the fray, put a bunch of traps down, and just start dashing around stabbing fools, because the more people I'm fighting, the more powerful I am.
Man, that must mean you have very fast runs, right? Because you're just like, ah, I'm coming.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my runs do go very quick. Or, like, when I was fighting that boss, I heavily stacked in that direction, because I could trap him and then get behind him and then just wail away and then, you know, put the trap down again, just keep on repeating like that with my daggers or whatever.
Interesting. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I also use the freezing a lot. Do you use the freezing?
No. See, this is funny because you're using a lot of the strats that I just have not used. Like, I'm almost exclusively ranged.
Oh, yeah. The freezing is... I recommend messing with it, because there's a couple kinds of freezing. There's one that's basically like a fireball, you know, it's like a Hadouken or whatever. It's like a Sub-Zero thing, but just...
I don't think I have that. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's a great weapon where, like, you... And it's also infinite. So, like, there's really... It's a... You know how your two melees... Oh, this is the,
like, ice ray thing.
Yeah, that exactly. So
my problem is the wind-up time is so...
It's not a tool.
But isn't the wind-up super long?
I don't know. It's a little bit. Like, it's a few frames, basically.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
But it can go through enemies, so you can freeze multiple at once.
Yeah.
And so I use that quite a bit, or freezing arrows or freezing grenades.
Yeah, I've used freezing grenades sometimes. There's also a ranged weapon that I've been using called Hokuto's Bow, I believe. Oh, man. And when you shoot someone, it marks them, and when they're marked, they take more damage.
Oh, that's nice.
And then if you kill them, it spreads the mark.
Especially for a boss where there's only one thing on the screen.
Yeah, so I used that. My best run so far was that, combined with all the other techniques I used.
There's just so... And again, this is so clever, because one of the things that I always sell myself short on a game like Dark Souls, because I get comfortable with one thing, and then I tend not to stray too far from the path.
Yeah. Have you used shields at all?
I started using shields last night because I hadn't a lot, and I was like, you know what? There must be something I'm missing here, basically. Yeah. And really, you just need to get good at parrying. Like, parrying is really the key for those shields.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to be good enough to use the shields. I haven't specced into that at all, because there are mutations you can also unlock.
Exactly.
And some of them are like, you know, do more damage after a parry, or reflect the damage that you would have taken to the person who attacked you. That seems like if you really, you know, invested in the mutations and you had one of the cool spike shields, could actually be really effective.
I mean, there's a mutation that I saw, the blueprint that I got the other day, that was... you get health back upon a successful parry.
Ooh, interesting.
And so you could foreseeably do a thing where you are increasing the damage of reflected attacks, bouncing damage back off of that other mutation, and getting damage back yourself, and you just have to be very good at parrying.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because the shields won't... I mean, if you don't parry correctly, you'll either get hit or you'll take some damage, which is also a bad thing.
I mean, a lot of the shields, you'll take damage anyways. And that's where, for me, it's been like, well, what's the point of using it? You know, like, even being chipped a little bit could be seriously damaging on a long run where you're going to be chipped again and again and again, you know?
Yeah. Have you done any of the permanent upgrades? Like, of course, like in Dark Souls, there's like a health flask upgrade where you can have... you know, one heal or two heals or so forth. Have you upgraded any of the permanent?
I have. Yeah. So I have health flask 3, so I can use it 3 times. I have gold reserve 3. So whenever I die, I say I can save up to 10,000 gold.
Mm-hmm. Up to 10,000 gold.
Which is, I mean, no joke. Pro tip, do that really early, because it's very, very helpful. Yeah. And then recycling, which lets me recycle weapons and sell them for money, which is also great.
I mean, I think that's just like I don't know when I learned this, but I realized maybe this is just a game design thing that has evolved over the years, but whatever the equivalent of an economy boost is, you should always just invest in it.
Exactly. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Like, other than getting some of the stuff that you really need early on, like, those things you should invest in. One question I have for you, because I'm still not sure how I feel about this, but in Dead Cells, when you are buying weapons from the shop to basically buy a blueprint, you get that weapon to use right away. But more importantly, you add it to the stock of weapons that could possibly drop during a run.
Yeah.
Or if you've unlocked the sort of random bow or random sword things in the beginning, might actually drop in the very beginning when you're first playing the game.
Yep.
How do you feel about the idea that you have to invest into something before it appears in your sort of loot table? Because what I'm finding is that I'm very hesitant to buy anything that I think might be less good than one of the things currently in my loot table.
Because it will potentially decrease the percentage time that you'll get the thing that you want.
Yeah, like, you know, so for example, I really like the wolf trap, right? Mm. The idea of diluting my loot pool to make it less likely that I get that doesn't sit right for me, right?
Yeah.
Or the current bows that I have in my loot table right now, there's maybe three bows, including that bow that marks enemies. All of the other bows that they're currently selling, they're not convincing me to buy them. Like, one of them is, you know, does critical damage after a roll or something like that, or does more damage if you're closer to the enemy, right?
Yeah.
Things that I generally am trying not to do when I'm using sort of my ideal suite of tools.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that thinks, oh, that's actually really cool, because it means that the more I invest, the more randomness comes into the table, and then I really have to learn how to play with everything. But on the other hand, I feel like this very strong pressure against actually investing my skill points in things, because there's no way for me to experiment with them until I find them in the world, essentially.
I mean, it's one of those things that is, it's pretty unique. I mean, it's the inverse of the Dark Souls problem, where I can just pick something I want exactly and never have to stray from the path. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it feels more like I could see why you wouldn't want to do that. Or I could see it, like, a potential speedrunner would probably be very careful about what they unlocked, because there's probably an ideal set of tools or whatever that they have.
I mean, speedrunners would probably beat the game with, like, the base starting shield.
Right, with the shitty sword and the shitty shield, because they're already way better than we are. But, I mean, I could see the strategy there, but, like, ultimately, it feels like one of those rare types of mechanics where you either, like, you can either like it or not, but you can't really, it's so inherent to the game that it's like, oh, that, like, that, what a mistake, you know, what a mistaken mechanic. It's like, well, clearly it's intentional and clearly it serves a purpose. It's more like, just do you like this or not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a sense, like, would they have put it in there if it's really flat out worse, you know?
Right.
Like, if you can't make it work somehow.
Well, and it suggests, it's one of those things that allows you to see implicitly what is the message of the game. And the message of the game is more like, obviously there are a lot of tools of the trade to use, and you'll have your favorites, but the point of this game is flexibility and understanding the core mechanics of fighting an enemy versus the tool you're using.
Yeah.
Because you could be forced to use any tool. So the real lesson of this game is, how do you adapt to a situation, which is just part of the procedural rhetoric of the game.
Well, that's sort of where I get to my recent frustration with the game on the third boss, because the fact that, like, I'm all for that experimentation, I think it makes those playing through the levels much more fun, but when I am learning how to fight a boss, and let's say I'm using your method, right, and I want to get in the practice, not only might I not make it to that boss again for the next, like, 7 runs, right? But when I do make it, I might not have the same weapons or the same stats invested into it, you know?
Yeah.
So it just makes grokking the boss fights in particular more challenging, because you have to approach every combat with the knowledge of what your weapon set is. But because the boss fights are these longer, prolonged battles where there's these very, like, specific animations that you have to react to, and all of the bosses sort of enter this rage stage towards the second half of their combat, that, you know, even if you, let's say I fought a boss 7 times and I died within the first half of that boss's health 6 of those 7 times. Mm. I've functionally gotten practice once with one moveset. It doesn't fill me with a whole lot of confidence that I can then take on that boss the next time. So every time I fight a boss, it doesn't feel as calculated in the way that I'm learning as playing through the levels do, which are more forgiving of experimentation than the boss fights.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the major differences between this and a Dark Souls game, which is it's less about like repetitive meditation and more about improvisation.
Yes, yeah. But even to that end, though, like that's what's slightly unsatisfying about the bosses thus far. Mm. It's been that because they lock down the room, there's not actually a whole lot of improvisation that you can do in that environment. Whereas I think the improvisation that you can do because of the structure of the levels themselves is actually really fun. Like you can pull mobs into one area so that you throw grenades, so that you kill multiple of them. There's different things that you can do in response to the environment that you generally just can't do in those boss fights.
Yeah.
So I think necessarily the boss fights are less exciting. Whereas, you know, I'm thinking back to when you were fighting Madeir in Dark Souls 3.
Oh my god, that fucking dragon. PTSD is just thinking about it.
One of the hardest fucking boss fights in the entire Soulsborne series, right? And you defeated him with Poison Cloud. You know, and you had fought that boss many, many times with different weapons. You read about this particular strat. You went, you practiced. You died more times using that Poison Cloud method until you finally had the patience and the wherewithal to sort of eke your way through that nightmarish battle, right? And you got a victory. And that felt really good. And that rinse, wash, repeat learning process is one of the most satisfying parts of the Soulsborne series.
Yeah.
And I think that you get that with Dead Souls when you're playing through the normal levels.
Yep.
But you cannot get that when you're facing the bosses because there's no way to practice.
I think that's a very astute point, where the star of this game is the tile set versus the bosses, where in Dark Souls, well, I mean, let's be real, the levels are also masterpieces. Those games are just masterpieces, but
yes.
The bosses are very much showstopper type of experiences versus just things that you do to get out of a level.
Yeah, because I think in the Soul series, it's not just a puzzle. It's also perfect execution, or at least minimal mistake execution. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Dead Cells, the puzzle aspect, I think, is much lower. At least it feels that way to me so far. Like even the second boss that you know I've gotten past and can get up to very consistently, I still probably die half the time, and half the time I'm generally blaming the item sets that I have. You know, for example, again, minor spoiler for the second boss, but he does this attack where he throws a chain at you, and it doesn't matter if you're in the air or on the ground, he'll throw it at you, and if it touches you, he'll pull you towards him, lock you in place, and then unleash this sort of devastating sword strike. As far as I know, I have not been able to dodge out of the way of that chain blade. I haven't been able to jump. I haven't been able to stagger the boss during it. I imagine a shield would stop it, but that implies then I have a fucking shield, or if I didn't have a shield in the beginning, I would have had to gotten one now, or if I took the shield the entire run, I would have had to fight the first boss with the shield, which is pretty fucking useless against the first boss, let's be perfectly honest. Yeah. So, I mean, that inability to adapt strategically and, like, learn it in the way that I would want to learn it, I think is really frustrating. Like, you know, I love Dead Cells. I think it's great, but I think there is a certain amount of patience these types of games ask of its players. And I think people are used to it, but I think Dead Cells, in a way, asks more of its players than even something like Dark Souls does.
I'm hopeful that there will be some sort of travel system that we're not aware of yet, because there's an inordinate amount of mysterious doors and runes and so forth, and like maybe there's something that I just haven't found yet that'll help that practical level of, you know.
Well, and to be fair, you know, I just unlocked this new area where it poisons you or whatever when you're not inside of the light. And there's way more stat boosts in there than I've seen in other levels. So I think maybe my assumption now is that to get to that boss, I should now be taking this particular more difficult path. And in so doing, increase my personal stats before the boss fight so that I'm getting it down faster with more DPS. I think maybe that's what I'm meant to be doing, but it's a little frustrating after having done, you know, I think at this point I'm at 24 deaths, and maybe I would say over half of those are in runs where I'm seriously trying to get to that third boss and take them out.
Man, that's super interesting. Just the death. I was like going through my stats or whatever, and I wish they did have the game length, because I'm at like, I've played the game 24 times right now, and some of those times were just me like, I'm going to just try this new weapon and see what happens. Or some of those runs were me just practicing parrying.
Oh, you're at 24 games?
Yeah, I've played 24 games, and but like I said, it's interesting because I have been messing around so much more with the melee, or like going in there and like, okay, I'm just going to stand in front of this guy while he lobs bombs at me and practice my shield.
Well, see, I mean, that, I think this is a testament to like your patience as a player over mine, maybe, because I've played only 26 games, but I'm further than you, but less skilled than you.
Let me see. They have a funny breakdown. So I was like looking at, let's see, games finished. Okay, deaths. Here we go. So 23 times. So killed by an enemy. 91% of the time I was killed by an enemy.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. 91% of the time, yeah.
Thankfully, no deaths by suicide.
I have here most cells obtained at once, 67. And I have to tell you, that was a horrifying 5 minutes of my life. When I had, because like at this point, I had no health potions. I was at like a quarter of my health. I actually got through that level with one HP.
Man, you said 60-something?
67 cells.
God, that's a lot. So the scale of this game is like, to unlock a weapon that takes like 50 cells, like that's considered a lot. Like that's a lot. Yes.
I mean, I immediately dumped that into Health Flask. I was like, this is the most I'm ever going to be able to invest towards this thing. And what's crazy is there are quite a few enemies that will chase you to the fucking ends of the earth.
I didn't realize that until one started doing that.
Oh, yeah. Like the teleporting guys. Yes. And like they're real scumbags.
I think my top is, I've had 34 at one time. Have you ever done any of the cursed
I was just about chests? To ask you the same question.
Happened to me one time, but it was a great experience. I was laughing my ass off when it happened.
I've opened only one cursed chest. I don't know if the curse changes, but I don't want to be cursed again. So
what was the curse when you opened it?
The curse was I would lose everything if I got hit even once, and I could only get rid of it by killing 10 enemies.
That was the same thing that happened to me. I wonder if the curses are static.
Well, you know, there's even a mutation that increases your strength when cursed.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So you can just be a berserker or whatever. Yeah. And
or one that like heals you or something when the curse is out or whatever. Like there's a bunch of like little mutations that I think proc off of being cursed, which itself sounds like what a nightmare. Like I imagine speedrunners probably intentionally get cursed and then just rush towards the boss to do like maximum DPS and never get hit.
It was such an intense, just, you know, 1 minute or so, because I had to think about every single move where it's like, okay, I can't take a single hit here.
Yeah.
Or else I'm going to lose all my shit. And just thinking about, okay, like what's the most long range, conservative, safe way that I can dispatch these guys?
I just throw grenades and then run and like hope for the best and then come back later being like, have you guys chilled out? Like you're still mad at me or what's the deal?
Oh man. Yeah. There's so many, whether it's Binding of Isaac or Spelunky or like any of those Rogue Legacy, there's just so many clever things that they integrate from games that have been influential over the past 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And mashed up in such a way that feels so natural. It's extremely impressive.
Yeah. I know we talked a long time ago about like what a Souls-like was.
Yeah.
And I would sort of call this a Souls-like, but I think what I'm enjoying so much,
I mean, there's a freaking roll in it.
Like. Yeah, that's true. I went from Hollow Knight to Dead Cells, which are just like these kissing cousins to the Souls series. And it just feels like we're in such a good place right now for this particular genre. Yeah. You know, I know we're talking about Battle Royale and all this stuff, but man, if you're into roguelike Metroidvanias, like you have your fill at this point. Yeah. You know, like Salt and Sanctuary is also on the Switch as well. So you really have, and Dark Souls is on the Switch. Like you have your whole suite of stellar games in this in these genres that you can play on the go, which I think is honestly perfect for that type of thing, as long as you don't throw your Nintendo Switch right on the ground in frustration.
There's also so much, there's still a lot of innovation and iteration up and down the budgetary stack, you know, where there's, you know, the next From Software game is that, I forget what it's called. It's the Samurai one that is coming out.
Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that one, there's Neo, there's, you know, the Souls games themselves. Like, there's just so much. And then on the, you know, kind of more stripped down end, you have something like Dead Cells. There's just so much for someone that likes this type of game. There's so much has blossomed over the past few years.
Yeah.
And so much has become, it's funny how widespread these games have become, thinking back to something like Demon's Souls, where it barely scraped by to keep the servers up.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah.
You know, now these games are just all over the place.
Yeah. Like moss on a corpse, or fungi, I guess.
So, what's your prediction? Do you, how many deaths do you think you'll take before you finish this game? How many bosses are there in this game? I don't even know.
I don't know, man. That's a very good question. I don't know.
Oh, have you done any of the dailies? Sorry,
I've done the daily once, which I think is probably good practice. I'm just gonna go into the daily thing right now. I've done it once, which, again, I think is helpful because you encounter enemies you've never encountered before.
Yeah, I went in there and I was like, uh-oh, I'm in the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah, like, I died so fast, I was just like, meh, you know, like, I don't think I need to, I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone. You know, like, I'm just going to, like, call it quits or whatever. I don't know. I mean, this is the type of game where I run that on that edge, right? I could see myself bouncing off of it, to be honest. I could see myself getting so frustrated that I need to take a break before coming back and maybe never coming back. I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing for something like Dead Souls. I've put in, you know, in 26 deaths, I've put in a good chunk of time into the game already, and I've had a great time with it. So I think if I were to not finish, I'd be okay with that. I did finish Hollow Knight, though, you know, so maybe I have it in me. You know, I just got to persevere. I got to really push it to the limit.
I gotta put on my headbands and put on my montage music while I practice with this chain whip.
Push it to the limit.
All right, let's leave it right there because I need to go. I need to do some more target practice with my parrying buddy.
Yeah,
experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our mutation laboratory. Come on by and listen to the many versions of podcasts we have. Many hundreds, in fact.
Each one slightly different tile set.
And also wherever you can find podcasts, where fine podcasts are sold.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time we disagree.